Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies for Tuesday. My name is Peter Edmiston. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for checking out the podcast. We're part, of course, of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I want to give a big shout-out to everyone. As part of the network, we've really had some tremendous growth, great numbers on the NBA, NFL side, and big props to David Locke and all of our great hosts, podcast hosts, everybody across the network. If you want the best local coverage, the best local insight of what's going on, then really the Locked On Network is where it's at. So just really proud of that. Also, big thank you to everybody who has checked out the interview that I posted on Friday with John Hollinger, the Grizzlies Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations. I want to thank John for sitting down and being so generous with his time. And thanks to all of you guys for checking it out. Really has done some gangbusters numbers over the weekend, as a lot of people have wanted to hear what John had to say and kind of get a rationale about what happened from the Grizzlies' perspective and why Tyreke Evans is still on the team. So we'll discuss that a little bit. Now, obviously, a few things have happened in the interim. Let's roll through those. Grizzlies lost again on the court, 110-92, even with Tyreke Evans, who was a little rusty after his enforced absence, sitting, waiting to be traded, a trade that would never actually happen. He gets back on the court and is just sort of okay. The Grizzlies defensively were an abject disaster, which is good. That's what you need. You need to lose these games. This tank race is incredibly tight, and we'll talk about that momentarily and why that's going to affect a lot of things from the Grizzlies' perspective. Once again, I thought an okay performance from, you know, some of the young guys are starting to show out, and well, I think we're going to talk more about them tomorrow, in particular Ivan Rabb, because there's a lot of strengths, and prominent weaknesses with Rabb's game, and we'll discuss that and start to kind of get into a forward-looking approach on the pod, because that's really, that's what this season is going to be all about. It's about developing talent now and about how you can get the best out of these young guys, seeing how J.B. Bickerstaff handles it and kind of figuring out what you've got, you know, whether it's you're going to have enough guys that are going to actually, you know, work out so you can focus on different positions, or whether you're going to have to go back and restock in the draft. They've got plenty of chance for all of those questions to be answered coming up. Also, one less big to think about as Brandon Wright. Grizzlies complete a buyout with him, and he is now a Houston Rocket, having signed yesterday with the Rockets for the prorated veterans minimum of about $500,000, give or take. Brandon Wright, just for what it's worth, it's unfortunate that this whole thing worked out the way that it did. Because, man, I really like Brandon Wright, like him as a person, as a player. You know, he's a very much a specialist, but what he does very well. The guy was a model citizen, model teammate. You know, just had twins not too long ago, and you know, dealing with a lot of stuff like that, just, you know, being a dad, and always a great guy to talk to. Always enjoyed my conversations with Brandon Wright. First-class guy all the way, and so I think he's going to really help the Rockets' locker room. I don't know about on court so much. The role that he will play, I don't know that it isn't already played better on their roster already. I'm not sure that he's going to be able to provide spacing, but again, you know, if they end up in an injury situation, or if, you know, Clint Capella can't go, you know, he could be certainly an adequate stand-in for him, and he's got a chance to win a championship. I mean, there's no question that the Rockets are in that mix. So a big upgrade for him, and it's just a shame that it never worked out. You know, he immediately arrived in Memphis on what was a pretty darn good deal. You know, he signs for, at the time, was a full mid-level on a three-year deal, and 3 years, $17 million, give or take. And it just, injuries and what have you were so costly. You know, he was robbed of so much of an opportunity to really even make any kind of an impact whatsoever. And it just never got settled in, never had a good run, never was able to make it work. When the team was good, he was hurt. When he was healthy, the team wasn't good. Just the timing of it never quite worked out. So it's a shame, because I think in theory, the signing of Brandon Wright made a lot of sense. There were a lot of things to like about the signing, and a lot of things to like about the deal, but in execution and just because of life, didn't always work out. So a shame, but Brandon Wright is waived. Yeah, we'll see what the Grizzlies roster starts to look like as they play the Thunder again tomorrow night in FedEx Forum. Now, I had a lot of response from the interview with John Hollinger, and a lot of you guys listened in and had a whole bunch to say. And the gist of what we're kind of talked about in the wake of that interview is the Grizzlies' rationale for keeping Tyreek Evans. I know that around the league, in the discussions that are happening with people that cover the league, and I would imagine with people, you know, inside other front offices, there's probably a fair bit of confusion about what the Grizzlies are doing. I will admit, I'm a little bit confused about what the Grizzlies are doing, as you heard in my emergency pod right after the trade deadline and then in the interview, you know, with John. I expressed that confusion, and I'm still confused even after hearing the explanation. But let me walk you through. Hopefully this will help. Let me walk you through the deal from their perspective, and then you can judge for yourself, or we can talk about the merits of their thinking. But I think John, the most valuable thing about what John had to say was that it really gave us a window into some of their thinking behind not doing this deal. So let's walk through it. Essentially, what the Grizzlies are saying is that if you look at the tank standings right now, the bottom of the league, it's incredibly tight. It's been tight for 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to get even tighter. There are 7 or 8 teams right now that are in that mix, really, really close, bunched up together. Chicago, inexplicable win last night. They've gotten to 20 wins, but everyone's hovering around 17, 18 wins. I would tell you, too, that even the teams that are at the 23-win mark, like the Knicks, who have lost 6 straight and are trending very much down, 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 even Charlotte, to some extent, has not been able to get anything going. They're probably going to win too many to be really in the thick of it, but they may well want to slide down once they see how the season is unfolding. When all that, you take all those things in consideration, the Lakers, who don't have their pick, but they're just not that great. They're not going to win a whole bunch of games. And look what they did at the deadline. They got rid of, you know, some of their more effective players, and you bring in Isaiah Thomas, who's hurt and probably not conducive to winning a whole lot of ball games for you there. They're in the mix. Brooklyn, even though they don't have their pick, again, they're just not good enough. They're losing a bunch of games because their roster isn't very good. So all those things factored in, there's going to be somewhere between at least eight and up to 11 teams, by my estimation, that are going to be very strong tank contenders that are going to be in that discussion. So when you have all of those teams mixed in there, you are going to get situations like you saw last night where Phoenix, and I alluded to them in the interview, and John, by league rule, could not comment or have any sort of reaction to my allusion, but everyone knew, you guys knew what I was talking about. Phoenix is one of the most traditionally strong tanking teams, and they have really gotten off to a big start in the late tank wars by getting hammered last night by the Warriors by almost 50. 46-point loss. It's their second such loss in about a week for this season already for the Suns. They are going to be hard to out-tank. Sacramento, you know how that's going to work. They're going to probably find some buyout situation with Vince Carter. I don't know what Zebo's going to do. Probably going to sit for the year. He's not been playing that well anyway. Even when he's played, they don't have a great roster. They're going to certainly lose a lot of ball games. Orlando, certainly going to lose a whole lot of ball games. You know, there are teams that are just, that's just what they're going to do. They're going to lose games because of the nature of their group. Nothing you can do about that. And those teams, in fact, in the mind of the Grizzlies, they're going to be so aggressive in trying to make sure they lose those games, like Phoenix has been. Devin Booker will be locked in a closet somewhere, no doubt. You'll see teams do stuff that the Grizzlies aren't willing to do or don't think that they are capable of doing. And that is kind of the thing. They always have guys, and this is one of the things that in the organization there are constantly members of the analytic department, you know, guys that are working on various projections of players, of teams, of all this stuff. That's part of the gig. And one of the things that they are constantly looking at and projecting internally in their own way is what the end of the season is going to look like. How many wins will it take to be the worst team in the league? How many wins will it take to make the playoffs? All that stuff. They've got simulation on top of simulation that can play out the season, and they can change, you know, parameters and variables and that kind of thing. So they can play this thing out. And in their mind, when they play it out, their ability to tank is not as good as the rest of the league's ability to tank, or at least quite a few of those teams that are in the tank race. They will be more aggressive and better tankers than the Grizzlies. Internally, the Grizzlies felt like the pick that they have, their first round pick, while you and I and so many others listening probably think, man, that could be a top five pick. That has a chance to be one of the best picks in the draft. What they're thinking is, well, as we project it out, actually that's not really the case. We think it's, even if we were to get rid of Tyreek, that's probably going to be closer to 7, 8, 9 and on down. That's where we think, we project, even without Tyreek, that's where we project that pick is going to be. If you project that way, then whether you get rid of Tyreek or not is not going to have a huge impact on that draft position. That, in their mind, again, this is in their mind, not mine, theirs, that minimizes the opportunity cost right there. So if you go from 8th in the draft to 10th, that's not really much. There's not going to be a great deal of difference there, at least enough to mitigate the other stuff that we're going to talk about. That's there. Let me make it clear, because people have had this reaction sometimes. That's their thought. I do not agree with that. I think they could tank their way down into that mix. I think they could find lots of different ways. I think trading Tyreek would have made a lot of sense, but that's what they think. They think you can't tank enough. At least that's the draft pick side of it. Now, the re-signing Tyreek side of it. So if you don't trade Tyreek, if you've made that determination, then the next domino is, well, what happens with Tyreek? Because the only motivation for keeping him and not buying him out, then you could make the determination that, look, there's no deal that we got that we even want to mess with. We don't, the late second round pick is not even worth our time. We're just not going to do it. And we'll buy out Tyreek and save a little money because we don't want to take back any money on the deals, all that stuff. Maybe that's the determination. But if you buy out Tyreek again, you can't, you know, keep him, and you don't, your little backdoor way to pay him more money then goes out the window. So they're going to keep him, and then thus they have to play him. So the keeping Tyreek part is very much up in the air. Now let's project out again. This is another situation where you have to project out and look at the nature of the league. The Grizzlies are going to have access to their full mid-level. That will be the what they can pay Tyreek. We've gone over his contract quite a bit. They don't have early bird or bird rights on Tyreek, so they are hamstrung in what they can offer. They can offer what anyone else can offer, which is essentially any other team that doesn't have, you know, enough cap space can offer the mid-level exception, assuming they're not a taxpayer or not going to be a taxpayer. That would limit that, but we're assuming that that's not the case. So full mid-level, let's say $8.6 million in that neighborhood. That's what they can offer. Several other teams will be able to offer that, and I'm sure they will. If another team comes in with cap space and offers Tyreek a bigger deal, then you can pretty much assume he's going to take it. This is a guy who has been injured quite a bit. This is a guy who hasn't been fully healthy in quite some time. A guy who has bounced around the league. And a guy who is looking at the age of 27, 28, when he starts that next contract. That's your prime deal. That you're not typically acclimated. You're not typically going to allow yourself to ease into a contract, one-year deal, and then, you know, go. You want to get your money. You want to get your money, especially if you've had injury history. If you can find a longer-term deal, you would want to take it. So if somebody can offer a longer-term deal or bigger money deal, that's probably going to give them a pretty significant advantage in signing Tyreek. The Grizzlies are taking the risk that that team will not emerge and that then they will be competing with their MLE against everybody else with their MLE. And they're hoping that familiarity and organizational fit will help them. They also have the ace in the hole that if they offer him a 1+1, a 2-year deal with a player option in that second year, and he opts out, they can then bump that next deal up using early bird rights and will allow them to sign him for 175% of the previous year's salary, which would bump him up towards, you know, $14, $15 million and be a much more attractive financial offer. Now, they can't guarantee that, and they can't pre-offer that because that would be against the CBA. They could not, they're not technically supposed to even intimate that that would be the plan going forward, that if he were to opt out, he would make more money. But you can naturally assume that that's the case, and I'm sure that they would make sure to get that point across one way or the other to Tyreek and to his representatives at the Wasserman Group. That would be the message that they would send. So you may not get the money now, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, Tyreek may rightly say, what if I get hurt? Good question. That's the risk. You can't guarantee that contract, so you can't offer any assurances. If you're a guy that's been oft injured, is that going to reassure you? I don't know. I would say that would be a concern if I were Tyreek Evans. But again, this is the Grizzlies' perspective. They think that the advantages that they have with regard to re-signing Tyreek would be helpful in keeping him. That's what they think. And so they are willing to risk, A, making their pick worse, and B, losing Tyreek in the offseason for nothing, because they did not think that the offers were worth their time. They don't think that a couple of second-round picks or Emmanuel Mudiay or whatever was worth their time. John said even that they didn't get an offer, even involving future money, that rose to the level where they'd even start to debate the value of taking on money in 18-19 versus getting a better pick. They didn't even get to that point because that offer never came. So they don't think there's much opportunity cost in keeping Tyreek and taking a swing for his free agency. They don't think that they've given up much because they don't think that they've worsened their pick to the degree that I think they've worsened their pick. And they don't think that what they were going to get is worthwhile. That, without knowing specifics of the deals that were offered, John alluded to very late second-round picks and players that they weren't interested in. That would tell you that, like, for example, Emmanuel Mudiay has been pretty widely reported. I would believe that he was, you know, especially since he got traded, he was certainly available and would have been, you know, one of those guys that was in the mix. They obviously do not rate Mudiay as much of a player. They obviously do not think very highly of him. They don't even want to take a swing at Emmanuel Mudiay. I think that's short-sighted. I think you could take a swing at him. I think he would help you lose games in the interim, and you could still look and see potentially if there's something there, it's worth a shot. That and a second-round pick. I found it interesting that John kind of dismissed the idea of getting, and he used the 50th pick. He said, like something like the 50th pick. But it was kind of ironic that that same day, hours earlier, they had traded James Ennis, who was taken with the 50th pick in the 2013 draft. They had traded him to get a future second-round pick in 2022. I mean, right there, it's staring you in the face. At one point this year, the Grizzlies threw out a starting lineup of all second-round players. You know, Andrew Harrison, Dylan Brooks, we talked about it in the interview. They've had success in those rounds. So to dismiss the value of that pick, I'm not saying you're going to get a star. James Ennis is certainly nothing approaching a star. But if you end up getting a guy that is a valuable rotation or maybe just fringe rotation guy, again, better than nothing. And those draft picks, you can aggregate them and use them to make further moves. There are plenty of reasons why the Grizzlies, who don't have their first-round pick next year, unless they finish in the top eight after the lottery is all done, they do not have their first-round pick. There are plenty of reasons why the Grizzlies should be bullish on hoarding picks. Get as many as you can. You just never know. And I found that to be a very curious attitude from the Grizzlies about how they felt about those picks and about the possibility of getting something for Tyreek. The truth is, all of this is, you know, there's still, even atop all this, it's muddled because we don't know about the ownership situation. We don't know, you know, what the direction of the team is going to be. We don't know what the role of Joe Abadi is in all of this, who was curiously absent in the discussion that John Hollinger had about the team and about the framework. He's, you know, a representative of Robert Pera and a lawyer by trade, but not specifically outlined in the decision-making process, and yet he is a very important part of it. Don't know how that plays out. All of this really just puts pressure on them that they're going to have to hitch their wagon to Tyreek, and they're going to have to try to find a way to convince him to stay. And as I've outlined, I don't think that's going to be an easy task. I don't share this rationale. I want that to be clear. I don't share this rationale. I still think it was a risk that is pointless. I think it was foolishness. I don't get it. I think you should have taken whatever the best offer that you figured out, whatever that was at 159, I think you should have taken it. I think you ended up dealing yourself into a very bad situation because you hung around too long waiting for that big offer to roll in, trying to, you know, take a decent hand and turn it into one that's going to, you know, take a whole bunch of money from somebody when you could have just chucked it in. You could have just folded, or you could have just been happy with a small return. You tried for everything. You swung and you missed. I would have been very happy to get Moutier in a pick. I would have been very happy with a couple of seconds in Yabusele. I would have been very happy with a couple seconds here and there. That would have been perfectly fine because I don't think that re-signing Tyreek is a great option. I don't think, for a lot of reasons, that it's especially likely. We'll see. But I think that's a harder one to figure out. And in the meantime, you have put your pick at risk, which I think they could make certainly worse. We'll see. Maybe the Grizzlies get lucky. Maybe, you know, you get lucky sometimes in the lottery. You need a whole bunch of luck. Best case scenario is you have a 25% chance at the first overall pick. So luck is certainly involved in this entire process. But, you know, look at what happened last year. Miami trying to make a culture, finished 30-11, and almost made the playoffs, ended up, you know, not getting a great pick, but they got a good player out of it, and they've had a really good season. That's the hope, I think, from somebody in Memphis, that you would look and try to build that culture of winning and all that sort of thing. Good habits. I don't really buy that because I don't think a lot of these players are going to be around for that. It's not something that makes a lot of sense to me. I don't really understand it. And I do think that change is needed. When the season is over, what that change in meaningful change. And so I'm not going to specifically call for firings or whatever. I've already done all that stuff. I don't know. You know, I just think that meaningful change in how they do business is going to have to happen. And it's probably going to be thrust upon them if there is an ownership change. If not, then they're going to have to reassess how these things are done because this type of thing cannot happen again. Thanks for listening. Be sure to send me an email, pedmiston@gmail.com, pedmiston@gmail.com. You can reach me there. You can also reach me on Twitter. I am at Peter Edmiston. Thank you for listening. Let me know what you think. I'll answer some of your questions later on in the week. See you tomorrow here on Locked on Grizzlies.